Praise the Lord. Now he's alive, right? We're no longer slaves to fear, right? We raised our white flags and surrendered all, right? I told you each and every song had a meaning to it. So you made a covenant with God through every song. So let's not lie. Let's not break that covenant when you walk out of here tonight. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for everyone that came out to sit at your table, to be fed fresh manna from heaven, to receive the miracles that they need, Father God, in their body, their spirit, soul, and mind. And Father God, I'm asking you right now to complete the works that you started. Bring us into the new year, Father God, totally, completely whole. Brand new minds, Father God. Brand new hearts. And Father God, let us have eyes to see and ears to hear. But thus saith the Lord, even tonight, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I read a little article that said the millennials are here. So open up your doors wide. And this one pastor was saying how the millennials are coming into his church, and these are the prostitutes, the drug addicts, and they're getting saved and being set free. And he said it just started a couple weeks ago. So are you prepared to minister to the lost and dying that God is going to send through the doors? This is what he's been preparing us to do, but are you ready? You have to start and think about that. Now, you know, in deliverance, there's always something new that we find out. We found out now that we all have cells in our body, right? Isn't that how it goes? And we found out that the demons are hiding in those cells. So the reason why people are not being kept staying free, because we haven't gone into the cellular structure, isn't that right? So now we're going to start going into the cellular structure where the demons are hiding, and then you'll be totally and completely set free. So if you're going through deliverance and still feel like you're not free, sign up again, because we're now going deeper. And Sister Nancy did that last night, right? They went into the cellular structure, right, and was surprised it was still there, and she was set free. This is a brand new avenue that God has opened up to us, and I've already chewed them out. Now I said, you have to go deeper now, because God kept telling me, you're not going deep enough, and that's why they're not being set free, but he never told me to go into the cells. But we have had, during deliverance, the demons have said, how did you find me? How did you know I was here? Somehow or other, they tapped into the cellular section and didn't know it. But out they came. So God is revealing all kind of things where his people are going to be set totally and completely free. And you will no longer struggle with your old bondages, your old habits. And we'll walk around free. We'll be able to have springs on our feet like they do in these videos and jump up and down like we're a rabbit, you know. I keep looking around. I don't see that yet. But I hope to see all you young kids jumping up and down with little springs on the bottom of your feet. I've tried it. I haven't accomplished that yet, all right? So anyhow, you just have to do this little shuffle for right now. But all you younger kids, you can just do more than shuffle. I see you out on the streets. Don't you see them on the streets? They're doing more than shuffling, aren't they? I see you at home. You're doing more than shuffle. Amen. So anyhow, tonight I'm going to speak about God's gift to us and our gift to God. Now we will be here. When will we be here? Saturday night, New Year's Eve, right? All right. So we'll be here New Year's Eve. What time is that? 10 o'clock. And we'll celebrate the new year coming in. And we'll give God all the glory. And we have a couple of things coming up. We have is it called Perversion? What's it called? Conqueror Series, starting when? January 6th. Please come out to those series. It's 5 weeks long, right? Everything's out in the hallway, but I'll sort of give you what I remember. Then our revival starts January 21st and not the 23rd, because I found the original thing that God told me, and it was the 21st, not, I don't know where I got the 23rd from. But January 21st, for 2 weeks, we'll have a revival, and I'll be the speaker, and God will be here in all of his glory. All right? So we've really got a lot of things on the fire right now, and we know that God's doing a roll, and we know he's in control, or we wouldn't be able to roll with him. Amen. So I'm excited, and I hope each and every one of you are excited for the new year that's ahead of you. But leave everything in the past when you step into 2017. God says that you have to let go everything that was a weight to you. You have to let it in 2016. You cannot carry it into 2017. All right. So from now until New Year's Eve, please think about what it is that's weighing you down and get rid of it and go into 2017 totally and completely free. All right. God's getting ready to open some doors suddenly. He's getting ready to close some doors suddenly. He said he's some relationships that he set up, he's now going to tear apart. And some relationships you think would never go anywhere are going to start going somewhere. So, and this isn't stuff I read, this is stuff he's told me, all right? And so God's doing, he has a lot of things going on, and the body of Christ has to be prepared for it. Now, he's been preparing you for a long time. And this year especially, he's been really preparing this body to move into 2017 in total victory. So tonight I'm going to teach on God's gift to us and our gift to God. God's gift to us was his son, Jesus, who brought us eternal salvation. You know, if Jesus never did another thing for you, just the fact that he brought you salvation is all you should ever be excited about. Amen? And God even said one time over this pulpit, he said, and he just took me over and he spoke, he said, if I never did another thing for you, absolutely nothing, would you still serve me? He said, was my blood enough? Amen. And you know what? A lot of the body of Christ can say, no, your blood wasn't enough. You see that by the way they act. It was not enough. And this is why God asked that question. Because he was weeping as he said it. He knew it was not enough. So Satan has come at this given time to steal everything that God has given to the church. Song of Songs says in 2:15, her brothers catch us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now, I said Satan has come at this given time to steal everything that God has given to us, the church. And we individually make up the church, so he's come to steal things from you. And how many of you can honestly say that you know that Satan's been trying to steal from you right now? And we can all say that, can't we? If we're really honest, we can say Satan has been trying to steal. And then in Song of Solomon, as it talks about the little foxes, all right? So our assignment right now is to catch these little foxes before they spoil the vine and the tender grapes, which represent the fruit of our labor, the souls that we have worked so hard to bring into the storehouse. Satan, everybody you've been working with, if you watch them, Satan's been working overtime to keep them bound or take them back into bondage again. And this is what we have to be watchful of. We have to be making sure that he does not get back those tender vines that God has given us to take care of. There are two foxes. The first fox represents that which has been sent by Satan to steal our individual fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the first fox is trying to steal what you have, you personally. Not what you're working with, but what you have. He's been fighting me tooth and nail. I mean, everything he can throw at me, he's been throwing at me. But see, I know what he's up to, so it doesn't affect me. But some, you know, you need to share with your friends. Some of your friends don't know what he's up to. And you just need to tell them, hey, that's just the devil trying to steal what God has given you spiritually. The second fox represents that which has been sent by Satan to steal the harvest of souls from the church. Now, these are the individuals that you're working with. If you notice, you make one step forward and then you make two steps backwards with them. Well, the devil's trying to steal what you're doing with them. When these two foxes, Satan's purposes, are tied together, their destruction can produce unholy fire that will consume our personal and corporate harvest. When these two foxes, you know, when the fox is trying to steal what you have spiritually and then steal what you're working with spiritually, it can produce an unholy fire. We have a picture of this in the book of Judges when Samson tied the foxes together and put a torch between each pair of tails. This is quite a story in Judges 15. You ought to read it when you go home. So then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. That's a lot of foxes, isn't it? And he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. That I thought that took a lot of work to keep all those 300 foxes together, right? When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well the vineyards and olive groves. So what happened was he stuck all these foxes on fire. I don't know how he did it all at one time, and let them loose, and they burned everything up in sight, all right? I'm not equating Samson's actions to that of the devil, but rather using this scripture to paint a picture of the destruction that the foxes produced to destroy the harvest. All right. Luke 13:31 says, just then some Pharisees came up and said, run for your life. Herod's on the hunt. He's out to kill you. And Jesus said, tell that fox that I've no time for him right now. Today and tomorrow I'm busy clearing out the demons and healing the sick. The third day I'm wrapping things up. So Jesus refers to Herod as a fox. So anybody's coming against you, if the devil in them, that's a fox. That's the devil coming after you. Herod wanted to kill Jesus before his time, before the harvest of souls could be reaped. And this is what Satan's trying to do to each one of us. He's trying to pull us out of God's will before we gather in the harvest that God has ordained for us to gather in. I'm asking each one of you tonight to be very, very be adamant with the devil that he's not going to steal the harvest that God has given you. That's the souls. I don't care who it is you're working with, and I don't care how they're reacting. Do not allow the devil any leeway in their lives. Command him to let them go, and then you stand in faith, knowing that God heard your prayer, and God is able to work with that individual that you have been working with, no matter how bad they're acting. I walked this out, guys. This is the way it works. See, and God keeps saying, love them, love them, love them unconditionally, love them, you know, because he knows Satan's warring with them, and Satan's trying to pull them out of the hand of God. And if you don't love them, if you don't show them grace and mercy, what are they going to do? They're going to go right back to where they came from, aren't they? I'm going to tell you right now, whenever, just about the time you think you have them in God's grasp, they do something really hateful, really ignorant. And then you say, oh, who cares? No, you can't do that. You have to keep loving them and keep giving them grace and keep saying, God, I know that you're in control. And then you tell the devil where he should go. Amen. This is what you have. I know I work with this kind of stuff. This is where you have what you have to do. And the person can really get ignorant. I mean, you know, it's not them, it's the devil. That devil can make them get as ignorant as he, you know, he shows himself off through them. And what he's trying to do is get you discouraged so you'll let them go. And then he has them. Amen. I told you before, one time one of my young kids, one of my daughters was on drugs after doing her thing. And she was on the street, so I brought her into the house. And when I went to church, the pastor said, you kick her out. Don't bring her into your house, she'll bring you trouble. And I went home crying, and I said, God, what am I going to do? He said, you keep her right here, because if you don't love her, the world will, and the world will destroy her. Well, she did cause me a lot of trouble, but she did get straight too. You know, so if we belong to Christ, then we no longer live, right? Jesus died for you and I, didn't he? And come on, let's face it, some of you were pretty bad. Some of us were pretty bad. And God gave us grace, and God gave us mercy. And God kept loving us until one day we decided, hey, you know, his life is better than the one I'm living. Amen. I just read this story about today about that young lady who was on drugs. She went and started with pills and went on up to meth or whatever you call that stuff, heroin, all that stuff. And she was pretty bad. And one day her grandfather looked at her and said, you know, you're really hurting me. And she said she decided right then and there she was going to get right, but then she got arrested. I don't know if she spent 4 years in jail or what, but how in prison she gave her life to the Lord. But right after, 2 months after she gave her life to the Lord, her grandfather died, but he stayed alive long enough to see her straighten out. And now she's out of jail, she's going to college, and now she's finished her college, and she's going into counseling, and she wants to have a prison ministry, because it's in prison is where she got saved. And she's just so many lost and dying people in the prisons that need somebody to go in there and love them. We could do the very same thing. We could love them through writing a letter encouraging them, you know. They really look forward to mail, whether you know it or not. And we had a young lady here, that two young ladies that used to write all kind of letters to the prisoners and had people writing, and the prisoners wrote back saying how grateful they were for the letters, even ones on death row. You know, come on, guys, they're still human beings, you know. And so what makes them, you know, you're no different than them. You just didn't get caught at some of your stuff. Come on, and God's eyes, a sin is a sin, you know. Come on. So that came from God, so there you go. All right, now, Satan is now trying to steal the blessing that the Lord is about to pour out on his people. Satan is after your joy and crown. The joy of the Lord is your strength. All right, we know that. And the crown represents your position in the kingdom of God as his sons. I was preaching one day and I was walking through there and God said, daughter, don't let anybody steal your crown. See, so if somebody's trying to steal mine, they're trying to steal yours too. And if somebody's trying to steal my joy, they're trying to steal your joy too. You know, Satan doesn't care who he picks on. He'll pick on everybody. All right, so I said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the crown represents your position in the kingdom of God as his sons. As sons, we have been promised many blessings by our Father, among which is financial blessings. And Lamentations 5:15 says, the joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. See that? Because of this, our hearts is faint. Our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate with foxes walking about on it. See, sin causes you to lose everything. That's why you can't dance in the house of God. That's why you can't clap. I have to tell you something. I stand up there and I listen to some of you clap. We need clapping lessons. My kids always told me when we first started church, Mom, please don't clap because you clap out of tune. So I don't clap. So I've been listening recently and I've noticed some of you don't clap in tune either. So I don't feel so bad. Amen. Come on. See, that's why we can't dance. That's why we can't really rejoice. It's because of little sins, the little foxes in our life that we haven't yet gotten rid of. All right. What is this sin that the little foxes represent? This is not gross sin. It is the little sin, the foxes, the subtle sins that overtake us, such as James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. If you see somebody hungry and you don't feed them, that's a sin in God's eyes. All right. The Lord has commanded us that we should do good to all, especially to the household of faith. In James 2:8-9 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. See, if I love Sister Nancy, but look at Grace on her, then I'm in sin. We have to love everybody equally. And we all have different personalities. And we're not all lovable all the time, are we? We're not. We're just not all lovable all the time. I'm sorry, you might think you are, but there's times that you are very unlovable. You just don't see it because you don't want to admit that you are. Come on. All right, fearing people rather than God. We honor the rich and look down on the poor and uneducated. Isn't that what we do? We honor the rich and look down on the poor and the uneducated. We deny our Lord as Peter did when we fail to witness for him, and if our words or actions would bring us ridicule or harm. When you go out to say, I'm a child of God, and you act like a child of the devil, see? If you say, boy, I really love the Lord, and you open your mouth next to you, you're cussing. See, you're not a witness for Christ at all. Your eyes are supposed to be holy, right? And you're supposed to look at holy things. If you're looking at unholy things, that's not edifying God in any way. See, this is what we're talking about, little sins. You people say, oh, well, look, he's a murderer. Well, your sins are just as bad as that murderer's sins. And see, this is where we fall short, isn't it? We forget that. All right, so gossip. Gossip is a terrible sin in God's eyes. But how many people gossip? You know? See, we need to look at this full picture. A sin is a sin is a sin in God's eyes. No matter how big or how small or mediocre, a sin is a sin. Matthew 23:23 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." This is some people sitting in the house of God. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." See, they pay all their tithing, but they neglect justice and mercy and faith. "These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." Now, you see that? We come to church all gussied up, don't we? Oh, we just get we just get all gussied up, let's just put it that way. And we sit here all prim and proper, and we talk prim and proper, but what's going on inside? There's a whole lot of things going on inside that shouldn't be going on inside. You'd be better off to come in here in your old slouchy clothes and be clean on the inside. All right, he said, "The blind Pharisees first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Well, you think about this. Cleanse the inside of you first. Then worry about how you're dressed on the outside. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." How many of you seen people like that? You know people like that, don't you? We all do. You know, sometimes I look and say, "Who are you trying to fool? You know, come on, just knock it off. Be clean inside, be pure inside. And then, you know, that'll shine outwardly." Verse 28 says, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Now, I want to ask you, how many of you people, don't shout it out, but just think to yourself, how many of you people have, somebody's come into your church and you look at them and say, "Boy, they're really great people." But as you get to know them, as God starts opening your eyes to who they really are, you find that what you see on the outside is not what's on the inside. Haven't we run across people like that? See, that should never be in the house of God. We are what we are. You know, and this, we should be in church the same way we should be. What we act like in the church is how we should be in our home and how we should be out in the public. There should not be any mask. There shouldn't be any facade. We should just be us. Hopefully, children of God, you know, trying to follow God with all of our heart, and leading not their own understanding, all right, but believing and trusting in God that he's seeing us through. Verse 29 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then in the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?'" This is Jesus speaking to the church people. "Oh, you called me a name." Well, read the word. Jesus did it upright, didn't he? He told it like it was, but we're not allowed to tell it like it is, are we? The church people just throw a fit if you tell them the way they are. Well, maybe we need to start just letting people throw fits. Maybe then they'll straighten up. You see this? Where, you know, I'm guilty of this. I'm so busy just not wanting to hurt anybody's feelings. And just let them go, making them think they were all right. And as the years went by, I watched them get worse and worse and worse. And finally we said, "Hey, you know what? You need to straighten up." And then whenever we was honest with them, then they started to clean their life up. But as long as we was approving of what they were doing, they were just staying what they are and getting worse. Are you understanding this? See, the little foxes here, the little sins they were into, were taking them straight to hell. And we were afraid to tell them that for fear we didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. After all. After all what? Read what Jesus did. Hypocrisy. "When our actions do not match our words, we cause God's name to be blasphemed by others. See that? I talked about that. When we speak of justice, love, mercy, humility, and honesty, but do not support our talk with our walk, we dishonor our God. See that? When we speak of justice, love, mercy, humility, and honesty, but do not support our talk with our walk, we dishonor our God. 1 Samuel 12:23 says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. I'm going to stop there. Up here in hypocrisy, you know, the Word of God says, if you see somebody hungry, feed them. If you see somebody that needs clothes, clothe them. And so, you know, in my house, I have a habit of taking in people that I see hungry, homeless, and need clothes. And we took a young man in and we clothed him this Christmas. He's ecstatic. But see, I'm teaching you, you know, if you see somebody hungry, feed them. If you see somebody without clothes, give them clothes. If you see them without a roof over their head, give them a roof over their head. And if I don't do what I'm preaching, then I'm in hypocrisy, am I not? Come on. See, we need to start putting in action what we say we are. I'm not telling you go out there and, you know, God tells me to do this, you know. I'm not telling you go out there and do that. If God doesn't tell you to do it, then don't do it. But if God lays it upon my heart, bring this person in out of the rain and give him a bed to sleep in, all right, then that's what I do. So everybody has to do what God's telling them to do. Not what I'm telling you, but what God's telling you to do. I hope that each one of you have ears to hear. And I hope that each one of you hear God's voice. Because with the world coming into the church, they're going to need a lot of help. Spiritual help. Love, grace, mercy. Are you understanding this? Somebody came to me last night, though, and they said, you know, and it's a relative sort of mine, and they said they don't have no place to go. And I looked at them and I said, I don't have no more empty beds. I have no place to put them. They have a daughter they can go to. Let them go to their daughter because I don't have, you know, they were suggesting bring them in and I don't have no place else to put them. There's a difference, you know. And God didn't tell me to do that either because they do have a place to go and they will have a roof over there. They will have their own bedroom. You see what I'm saying there? All right, then so I said in 1 Samuel 12:23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Now, not praying for others. When we forget to pray for missionaries, for those in authority, for the lonely, and for many others, we not only fail these people, but we sin against the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:7. Now, how many of you know people that you really know that they really need prayer? You have a hard time with them. You know, they're really bad people. But you know, whether they're bad or not, we still pray for them. They might have done you really bad, you know, really dirty, but they still need our prayers. Somebody has to hold them up before the Lord. Somebody has to untie God's hands so God can start working with them. So it doesn't matter what they've done to you, you still and don't pray the prayer I prayed one time. My husband made me mad. I said, God, kill him. Strike him dead. You don't pray like that. You know, you say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. As you clench your teeth, you know, want to smack them really good. No, we're supposed to pray for everybody. I know sometimes I'm not very lovable, and I want somebody to pray for me. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:7. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? In other words, you know, it's your brother and he's done something wrong to you, your sister, you know, whatever, and you're wanting to hurry up and take him to court to say, don't do that. Why not go ahead and be cheated? Isn't that what that just said? That's what it says in my book. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? My husband used to get so mad at me because I have family that would steal from me and steal from me. And I would still give and still love. And he said, I can't believe this. But, you know, that's what God tells me to do, right? Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Sometimes your cheek gets wore out, doesn't it? But, you know, still turn the other cheek. I've asked God, do I really have to turn it again? Yeah, I'm being honest with you. You know, I'm not Jesus. All right. I haven't died and gone to heaven yet. And there's sometimes I think, well, and I don't do it when I do turn the other cheek. I don't do it begrudgingly either. I repent first. Say, God, I'm sorry I felt like that. There's many times I know that God showed me grace when he should have smacked me on the head. Amen. Selfishness. Selfishness comes in many forms. We seek our own good rather than the kingdom of heaven. We do not honor and compliment others. We claim our rights at all costs. We prefer to give money than to give of ourselves. Let's read that again. Selfishness comes in many forms. We seek our own good rather than the kingdom of heaven. We do not honor and compliment others. We claim our rights at all costs. We prefer to give money than to give of ourselves. I'll give you money, but don't ask me to take anybody in. You know, type. You know, I've had that said to me. So, they don't want to be put out. All right? Revelation 3:16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So let's talk about lukewarmness. God wants fully dedicated followers. We cannot serve both God and the world. That's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, don't tell me you can't get free of something. You can get free of something. The devil's trying to make you think you can't get free. All you have to do is, I know, I've been there, I've done these things. You know how hard it is to love somebody who walks with you day in and day out? That's hard. Isn't that hard? But I had to say, God, if you said I should do it, and I'll do it, and I'll do it with a happy heart. And you know, but you're going to have to help me do it. I can't do it on my own. You're going to have to help me do it. And so if you're caught up in something, you say, I just can't get free. Yes, you can, because all you have to do is ask the Father to help you be free. And then you have to be strong. You have to be strong to be set free. You really do. You have to be strong. And you know, if you're in Christ Jesus, you have Christ in you, then you're strong. Because he's in you and he's making you strong. And you're able to do these things. Believe me, I've been tested and I've been tried in every area of my life. And God said, you can do this thing. And then one time I said, God, I can't do this. He says, yes, you can. You just don't want to. And you know, I thought about it and he was absolutely right. I could do it. I just didn't want to. So what I have to do, I had to repent. And I had to admit he was right, of course. And then I had to go ahead and do what I had to do. Come on. If some of you would just get honest with yourselves, you'd find out you could really get set free. You just don't want to yet. You just really don't want to. 1 Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, there's many, many days I have to say, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I just do it. I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you one thing, right? When the devil comes into your house full flood, you just want to act like he does. And you know that you can't do that, so you'd say, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, until I have myself convinced that I love Jesus. In other words, I do it until the darkness leaves. So you have to do something when the darkness comes. You just can't sit and let it overtake you. You have to do something about it. Amen? Being conformed to this world. Because we must live in this world. Hear this. Because we must live in this world, it is hard to know when we are conforming to the point of sinning. But when we do as the world does, in our manner of dress, our leisure activities, our choice of music and TV, our eating and drinking, our possessions and our goals, and therefore do not live distinctly as Christians, we displease God. In other words, we aren't supposed to act like the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are a peculiar people. We don't do what the world does, and we're still happy. The world thinks you have to do what the world does, and if you don't, then you're not happy. That's not true. I have news for the world. They are not happy. They are not happy. They might think they are. You know, you watch the world. They're either in pornography, they're in drugs, they're drinking. They're doing something that's perverted, and they think they're happy. And they're the most miserable people in the world. And in the end, it's going to catch up with them, and they're going to find out, oh my God, look what I've done. Sometimes it's going to be too late, and sometimes it isn't. Amen? Come on. We have to be honest with this tonight. God's gift to us was his son Jesus, who got beat and hung on a tree for nothing, except so his blood could set us free. Amen? Ignorance, Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. See, we are mistaken because we don't know the scriptures, or we wouldn't be in the bondage that we're in, and we don't know the power of God. The other day, something was going on in my life, and God says, I thought you had power. He said, you've been telling everybody you have power. Why are you like this? In other words, why was I being defeated? And he's right. I do have power, but I wasn't using it. Are you understanding this? See, so I had to use the power I had to come against the enemy to make him stop what he was doing. And he stopped. But see, he tries to get you into this place of seclusion where he backs you in the corner, makes you believe you have no power and no authority, and you have all power and all authority. He has none. Come on. I wish God would talk to some of you like he does to me. He'll put you straight in a second, in a heartbeat. You know, he doesn't let me get away with nothing. All right, so Matthew 22, 29 says, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Failure to know God's will is itself a sin. Failure to know God's will is itself a sin. We err if we do not study the word of God. We sin when we cause others to stumble. Come on, saints. Romans 14:21 said, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. In other words, if you're doing something and your brother doesn't believe you should do that, then you need to stop it. Don't make him stumble over something you know is right. Just let it go. Amen? When we're in sin when we are not thankful, in Luke 17:12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And him was Jesus. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. See, they weren't cleansed. He just said, go, show yourself to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed. See that? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. You see this? One. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Only one of the men turned around and gave thanks to God. In the body of Christ, in this church right now tonight, there might be only one person giving glory to God. The rest of you are sitting there saying, you owe me this. you know what I'm saying? How many kids in your family say, you owe me? Kids, I have news for you. Your parents owe you nothing. You belong to God anyhow. And God gave you to them to raise up in his ways, and then they're going to be held accountable if they didn't do that. So when they smack you up alongside the head, that's God saying, get it right. You came from heaven, now get it right. If you don't believe that God gave you that child, go to him and ask him. He told me that one time. He says, these aren't your kids. These are mine. I lent them to you to raise up in my ways, and I'm going to hold you accountable for how they turn out. Come on. I pray really super hard because some of mine didn't turn out so good right now. It wasn't because it didn't have the right atmosphere around them. They decided one day to let go of the reins and go their own way. And God's not going to hold me accountable for that, but still, no, I still want to see them all in heaven one day. Amen. All right, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, when you're looking at your friend and you're saying, boy, she's slouchy today. Roots of her hair need done. She doesn't have her eyebrows on right. See, that's a sin. That's all sin. Isn't it? Let's read that again. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. All right, so she might be slouchy. He's not. That's not nitpick here, all right? Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Her hair might not be done, but boy, she is. Her clothes are beautiful. See what I'm saying? I remember the story this pastor told where there was this man, he was really rotten to the core. But this preacher would never say anything bad, never said anything bad about him when he was laying in the casket. And he was dead. And then this pastor walked up and he said, well, he says, do you have anything good to say about him now? He said, yeah, he has the whitest teeth I've ever seen. He would never say anything bad about anybody. I'm sorry, we all get an F for that because there's not a one of us in your night that do that. Amen. But we're supposed to do that. We really, and let's all hope, including me, that we change and we only look at the good and not see any of the bad. Amen. I will never talk about Brett's unruly hair ever again. Okay, when we allow impurity to enter our ears and eyes and minds, look at this. When we allow impurity to enter our ears and eyes and minds and dwell on wrong attitudes, judgmentalism, criticism of others, gossip, jealousy, contention, and so on, these are sins of the mind. And wrong thinking. These are the little foxes in our minds, and it's wrong thinking. These are the issues of life that flow out of wrong heart attitudes. We must catch these foxes before they spoil our harvest of God's blessings. In other words, each one of you here, each one of you came here tonight on your own free will. So now you have to check yourself out. Check out all these little foxes that are within you and get rid of them. Amen. Because you only had to count them for what you know, but now you learn tonight that we all have little foxes and we have to get rid of them because they're sins. So I said we must catch these foxes before they spoil our harvest of God's blessings. I think it's a very good lesson to be taught right before the New Year's comes in. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Hello. Amen is right. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. There is no one of us sitting in here tonight that somebody has not really hurt us. Not a person in this room. And there's not a person in this room that you have not done something to yourself to inflict wounds upon yourself. Not a one of us. And so let's just quit looking at what others have done to us and let's look inwardly at what we've done to ourselves. And forget about what somebody else has done for us. Forget about what we did for ourselves. And let's just put that all in the past. And let's just go into 2017 with a pure heart. Forgiven all the dumb stuff that happened to you. Because you cannot change it. It's killing you. It ages you. Let it go. It's not worth it. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We read that before, but I want to read it again. I want you to get that down in your spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every time your mind wants to think a dumb thought, take it to God. Say, God, here, I give this thought to you. You take care of it. Angel God, come and smash this thought to pieces. Do whatever you have to, but get rid of that thought. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, when you become obedient to God, then you can start praying and helping other people get rid of their disobedience. Until you go, you have yourself cleaned up, guys, don't try working on somebody else. It doesn't work that way. If you're not cleaned up, you can't help somebody else clean up. You have to get your own self cleaned up first, and then God can use you and send you forth to do the mighty works that he needs done in the body of Christ and in the world. Now, with everybody, all these people that's going to be coming into the house of God, you know, the ones that are all messed up, ones we read about on in the news and on the newspaper, that's what's coming into the house of God. The prostitutes are standing on the street corners. That's what's coming into the house of God. If you're not right, how are you going to work with them? If your heart's all messed up, how are you going to help them get a pure heart? If you're walking in unforgiveness, how are you going to teach them to walk in forgiveness? Come on. You know, you don't understand it, guys, but the things you've been going through have been tests from God to give you strength and integrity so that you would finally become the child of God that God can use to minister to others who are hurt and bruised and lost and dying. All right? The body of Christ never looks at the full picture. We just look at me, 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 you know. And you never look around. You never say, God, what are you doing with me? I've said, God, have you lost your mind? I've asked him that. How much longer are you going to make me go through this, Lord? He said, you can do it. You can do it. If I couldn't do it, he wouldn't ask me. I'll just put it away. If you couldn't do it, he wouldn't ask you to do it. Now, some things you got your own self into, so don't blame that on God, all right? Don't blame that on God. Just say, God, give me some grace and some mercy and get me out of this mess I put my own self into. But if God has asked you, if he's given you an assignment, he's asked you to do something, and it's getting harder and harder and harder, then, you know, he'll give you more grace. He'll give you knowledge. He'll give you wisdom how to handle that situation. Amen? All right, the fox is a master thief. And the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy the harvest. Tonight, we need to awaken from our slumber and set our own traps for these little foxes that have come to spoil the vine. I hope that each one of you in here tonight, that you truly do check your own self out on the inside and get rid of those foxes. There isn't a one of us in here that doesn't have something in us that needs to come out. Not a one of us, including me. Sometimes I have bad thoughts and I have to smack myself along. So I say, get out of there. I don't think like that, you know. I have to make myself straighten up. There isn't one of us in there that doesn't. And if you do, if you're one of those that doesn't have to, please stand up and let us know why you like that. I want to know how you're still walking around this earth in your earthly body. Or are you an angel in disguise? Yeah. Come on. Sometimes I think, dear God, I can't believe I messed up so many times in one day lately. The battle has gotten fiercer, hasn't it? And the enemy he's like God told me, he says he's brought all hell to the surface now. And he's throwing all hell at us. And it's up to us to fight. We are God's children. We no longer walk in fear, but we are God's children. Now, you three young lady, you can't be listening to what I'm saying when you're sitting there looking at your cell phone. Let's put the cell phones away. We're not texting. Thank you. You know, it's time that the body of Christ really stands up and is accountable for yourself. This is who I am right now, and this is how I came to be who I am right now. Some of it was tests from God, and other was my stupidity. You know, and then come to grips with stupidity. And with the test, God has given you grace, he's given you mercy, and he'll continue to give you grace and mercy, and you'll make it through. It's just that simple. It is not, walking with God is not hard. In fact, I watch people walk with the devil, and I don't understand how they make it. That is really hard. My walk with God is easy. It really is. I have a lot of fun at it. That doesn't exempt me from having trials and tribulations, but I have a lot of fun following God. And I would recommend it to everybody in this room that if you aren't serving God, you should turn and serve him with 100% with all of your heart. It'll be the best deal you ever made with God, I promise you. All right, then I said, tonight we need to awaken from our slumber and set our own traps for these little foxes that have come to spoil the vine. God's gift to us was his son, which is our eternal salvation. My question to you tonight is, as our gift to God, can we give up the little foxes? Can you forgive the husband who cheated on you and then finally left you? You know, can you tell your children who got on drugs and did terrible things to you, maybe stole from you, whatever they did, can you tell them, it's okay, I understand, and put your arms around about them and love them anyhow? You know, can you do that? Because this is what Jesus did to you. He did that to you. He said, daughter or son, I know that you failed, but that's okay. Just come running back into my arms. I'm here waiting for you. With all the love that I've ever had, his love never wanes. It never does. He gets upset with us just like we do our children. And he spanks us every now and then really hard. I found out he can do it really hard. But even in the spanking, it's his love that does that. Has your father ever told you, this really hurts me more than it does you, as he's beating the stuffings out of you? Have you heard that? My daddy used to say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I said, oh, really now? I'm the one that has blood running down my back and my legs, not you. All right. But, you know, as I got older, I understood what he was saying. If you just would have listened, I wouldn't have had to do this, because it hurts me to spank you. But I have to correct you. It hurts God to spank us, but he has to correct us. And if we just didn't do the dumb things we did, we wouldn't get spanked by God. All right. You know, 2017 isn't too far away. But I would like for each one of you to walk into 2017 full, completely emptied of all your baggage you've been carrying around all your life. God wants the whole bag tonight. He just doesn't want half of it. All right, so I said to you tonight that tonight is our gift to God. Can we give up the little foxes? If you're ready to give up those little foxes, God's ready to take them, every one of them. The altar's open for the anointing to set you free from those little foxes that so easily beset you. You'll be surprised how much better you'll feel once those little foxes are going out of your life.